The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It is page 319 in the New Testament. I will read the words. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do not think out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of the others. Amen. There is a work known as Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. The work is composed of two parts, the first part of which was done in 1678, and the second part of which was done in 1684. It is an allegorical novel about the main character called Christian, who leaves this world, which is doomed for destruction, to journey towards the eternal city. In the novel, there is a part about how Christian, journeying together with a companion named Faith on the pilgrimage, and passes by a village. And there was a market called Vanity Fair in the village. The reason for its name was that everyone who came to sell something there or buy something there were all full of vanity. Now, this market was not a new market, but was established from a long ago. From about 5,000 years ago, there were people going on a pilgrimage like these two pilgrims, and Beelzebub and Abaddon and Legion, the Legion is the army of evil spirits, conspired to make this market in order to interfere and block the pilgrim's path. Their plan was that they would sell finite or useless products on this market every day without any break during the whole year. So they sold things like houses, lands, status, fame, promotions, titles, countries, lust, and physical pleasures, and they sold prostitutes, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, physical bodies, souls, gold, silver, pearls, and jewels. In addition, there were also fraud, gambling, clowns, mimics, gangsters, and pranksters in the market. And it was possible to see stealing, murder, adultery, and false witnesses, even if one didn't have any money. There were small markets within the big market where you could go to a particular square or an alleyway, and they sold goods that were only sold there, particular to that particular alleyway or square. If you went to English alleyway or French alleyway or Spanish alleyway or German alleyway, you could buy vanity that was only sold in that particular country. Now, it was not possible to go to the heavenly city without passing by this village. Therefore, the Lord, the King of Kings, also went by this village on his way to his kingdom. Beelzebub, who controlled the market, tempted the Lord in order to sell vanity. Beelzebub said to the Lord that if the Lord only showed respect to him, he would make the Lord the master of the market. But the Lord didn't buy anything from the market. The Beelzebub, in order to damage the Lord's dignity somehow, thought deeply of ways to making the Lord buy some item of vanity that was sold in the market. He knew that it was possible to do critical damage to the Lord's honor if he just bought one item. So he guided the Lord to this alleyway that and showed him all the kingdoms in the world. But the Lord had no desire for those items and left the village without spending a penny on buying any item of vanity. The Christian in faith also did not want to go through this market But because they could not get to the heavenly city without going through it, they reluctantly entered the village. As soon as they entered, the people of the market were stirred up, and a loud commotion broke out. There were several reasons for this. The first was that these people were wearing clothes that were completely different from the clothes that people of the market were wearing. So this attracted the attention of the market people. And some ignored them as being fools. Others taunted them as being crazy. And yet others puzzled over them, thinking they were foreigners. Secondly, the people were surprised by the words that were used by these two pilgrims, because these two used spiritual and holy language. The people of the market could not understand what they were saying. Thirdly, and most of all, the people of the market were surprised because these pilgrims did not look at any of the items that were on display there. This made the market people angry. When people yelled out to them to buy something, the pilgrims blocked their ears with their hands and looked towards the sky, crying out, "Turn our eyes from these vain things that they may not see these." The reason that they looked up was to indicate that they would do all of their transactions in heaven. Some who watched their behavior asked, "Exactly what kinds of things do you buy?" The pilgrims looked at them earnestly and said to them, "We buy the truth. We buy the gospel." These words made the market people even angrier. The people of the market sneered at them, taunted them, and talked badly of them. And so finally, they brought them before the judge of the market, and the name of this judge was Judge Hate Good. And the three witnesses for the trial were envy, superstition, and gain glory. And because of their false witnessing, the two were sentenced to death. The people first put Faith to death in the most cruel way. According to their laws, they first dragged him out to whip him. Then they hit him with fists and pierced him with swords. After that, they stoned him and burned him on the stakes and turned him into ash. Christians saw that the moment Faith died, trumpets sounded from heaven, and a chariot came down to take him away. Christian was able to go on his way because the Lord allowed him to escape prison miraculously before he was put to death. The way that we Christians travel may look the same as the way that the people of the world travel, but it is always a different road. In the market where Christian and Faith stopped by, a lot of goods were sold. There was everything that one would need to live in this world. These are all things that many people want to have, even in their dreams. But despite that, the name of the market is Vanity Fair. Christians are people who buy items that are sold in the market of truth, market of eternal life, and not goods that are sold in Vanity Fair. And today's passage tells us, what are the things that we must buy? Today's verse begins with the word, therefore. It is a conjunctive adverb that are among the words that we should pay particular attention to when we read or study the Bible. This conjunction, therefore, leads to a conclusion based on the summary of what has been said before. Therefore, what follows has very close relationship with the content of what has gone on before. And so what follows is advice to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, as stated in chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. If chapter 1, verses 27 to 30 contains encouragement for all the people of the Church of Philippi, then chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 contains encouragement for individual believers of the Church of Philippi. The first verse testifies as follows. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. It talks about the four that must be purchased by a Christian in the market of truth. The first item is encouragement. In Greek, it is paraklesis. This means to whisper next to someone. This word has the same root meaning as the word comforter, the other name for the Holy Spirit, which we considered last week. Encouragement is helping the other to have courage. Now, if you say to those who are suffering from damaged family relationships and do not know what to do, or to those who are suffering from pains of illness and fears the future, or those who say that the future feels like a dark tunnel because of financial difficulties, and if you say to them, didn't I tell you to pray before, that would not be any encouragement. To say things like that would be like shooting a pistol with words to make them even more discouraged. Encouragement must always be warm. And encouragement truly shines when the person who does the encouraging and the person who receives encouragement are both in Christ. If one person is in Christ and the other is not in Christ, then it is easy for the encouragement to turn into an empty echo. The second item is love and comfort. The encouragement and comfort are related, but their meanings are different. If the encouragement is to cheer someone about what must be done, comfort is to cheer someone about what has already happened. But what encouragement and comfort have in common is to speak next to someone. Therefore, they are not related to loud noises, but to small sounds. If we look back on our past, we must admit that often the words of those who spoke softly, who were lowly, and who did not seem to have much, comforted us more than the words of people who speak loudly or are in high position or who have a lot. It does not necessarily comfort us to hear a pastor loudly declare on the podium that God is our comforter. But it does feel like God comforting us when we receive an email from a fellow district member who says, you know, it is said that life is difficult for everyone. When we pretend that nothing is wrong and have a hard time, although things are difficult, when things are difficult for us. Rather than things that we hear from a famous person's lecture, often it is the words of our friends who suggest, why don't you try this? Or some words of someone near us to whom we had not paid attention to before that encourage us more and give us meaning to life. In the collection of essays titled Once in My Life by the late Chang Young-hee, a professor of English literature at Seogang University, there is a following essay. At the end of a term, a big task for professors is to give out grades. And to Professor Chang, it was always a difficult thing to do because there wasn't all that much difference in the ability of the students. It was hard to sort them into different levels of excellence based on literary and language abilities. The thing that was most difficult for her was to decide on a grade for students who are right at the borderline between A or B or B or C. If a student lacks two overall grade average points to get an A, but he or she is a really good person and tries really hard, then she agonized over the grade, worrying, what if the student is responsible for his or her family? What if he or she is a bread earner? Or maybe the father lost a job and the mother is sick, and what if he or she can't receive scholarship because of the grade I give this person? There are many times that she would have these kind of thoughts one after another and were not able to make up her mind about the grade and delay the decision. That it was easier for literature classes because it was at least possible to see whether the student read the novel correctly, whether the papers were written logically. But when it came to conversation, English conversation classes, the grades were totally subjective, depending on the judgment of the professor. So it was difficult to establish standards for the grades for these classes. So in order to establish standards for grades, in order to correct wrong pronunciation by her students, she would point out to students at the beginning of the semester about the pronunciations that are commonly missed. And so she warned the students that if they failed to improve, she would deduct a lot of points, and no matter how well they did on written examinations, she would not give out an A. If she made them practice this way all semester, there were students who improved, but there were also students whose pronunciation was so entrenched that they could not correct it. Among the latter was a student named Pyeongjin, and he was smart and he was diligent, but he could not correct his mispronunciation that he learned when he was in junior high school. He ranked second among her classes in written examination, but during the examination, he pronounced P and F in completely reverse, so it was difficult to understand him. So his grade was between A minus and B plus. Now she agonized over what grade to give him, but could not decide before she left the office for the day. But she was able to decide on his grade on the next day on her way to work. She was waiting at Shincheon to cross the street. She happened to see an old man crouched on the ground, selling something on the street at an entrance to a subway station, although it was a very cold day. The man was very small and looked vulnerable, and he looked like he was at least in his 80s. But what he was selling were a couple of fans and women's scarves. Fans and scarves, these were items that were completely wrong for the winter. But perhaps those were all that he could carry with his weakened strength. The many people rushed out of the entrance of the subway station, but not one gave a look to the old man. The old man also seemed to have lost any will to sell anything and were just looking at people's feet. At that moment, a young man was looking at the old man. It was Pyeongjin. Pyeongjin was looking at the old man while intently thinking about something. So he went with the others to cross the street in front of the subway station, but turned around, came back, and approached the old man. He looked at the items and picked up two fans. Smile and energy spread across the old man's face, who looked up at Pyeongjin. Professor Chang knew then that Pyeongjin bought the fans not because he needed them in the middle of the winter, but out of his consideration of the old man who was shaking with cold, that he could not just walk by. When she arrived at school, she sat down on her desk, and in the blank space left on the grading sheet, she clearly wrote A next to Pyeongjin's name. She thought to herself, so what if you confuse between P and F? At most, isn't English understood only by one-third of the world? But isn't the language of the heart that helps a vulnerable old person a global language that all people in the world understand? For Pyeongjin, who was able to speak such global language, which she had not even taught him, she wanted to give him a grade higher than A, if it were possible. There is probably no better example of an encouragement and comfort than this. The third item is fellowship with the Spirit. Fellowship in Greek is koinonia. It is not a word that simply signifies fellowship. It could be translated as fellow work or participation. So the Holy Spirit makes us not only to have fellowship, but also to work together. Because the Holy Spirit is someone who makes us as one. What blocks us from becoming one is not the work of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 20 testifies about how different the work of the Holy Spirit is from the work of the flesh. The acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The difference between the fruits of the works of the Holy Spirit and the work of the flesh can be summarized as one, on the one hand, the Holy Spirit uniting us as one, and the work of the flesh being works of dissension. When we look at things like selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, we can see that these are the things that cause us to tear ourselves apart, away from our neighbors. On the other hand, if we look at the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, forbearance, they work to make us one with God, one with others, and one with ourselves. So therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is actually not nine, but one, because the fruit is born as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, which makes us one. So therefore, if it's not for the matter of truth and not truth, the dissension is not from God. The fourth items are tenderness and compassion. Now, tenderness and compassion are both related to, are often associated with our inner organs. When we looked at chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 8, I had mentioned that the phrase, with the heart of Jesus Christ, that heart was an organ. In our conversations when we mention or refer to an organ of a human being, they're all expressions of emotions. For example, the Korean saying that there is a wind in lungs, or lungs are being filled up, which means that one becomes angry, or one sticks to liver and then to a gallbladder. Or there is a saying which says it pierces the heart to express grief. And there was a man named Huan On of Qing Dynasty of China was on his way to another country. His servant went into a forest and came back with a baby monkey and got back on the boat. But the mother monkey kept following the boat by the river shore, crying sadly, looking at her baby. But the boat just left. The mother monkey kept following the boat and crying the whole time. And finally, when the boat went ashore more than 100 li later, the mother monkey jumped on the ship but died on the spot. Later, when they opened up the stomach of the mother monkey, they found that her innards were torn to pieces due to her grief. So there is a saying in Korean, 단장 연모, which means to love to the extent of our innards being severed. Now, tenderness and compassion are the items of truth that Christians must have. The second verse of today's text explains about the currency with which these four items mentioned in verse 1 can be bought. It says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. So it talks about the currency in four different ways, in the same way that the four items that the Christians must purchase from the market of truth. In order to buy the item encouragement, it is necessary to be like-minded. To be like-minded is to think alike. If we do not see the way the other sees things, our encouragement will merely turn into nagging. How many good words do we speak to our children? But most of the time, our children think of them as nagging rather than encouragement. When a child is having a hard time, rather than quoting some famous sayings, it's more helpful to tell him or her that it was also like that for your dad way back then, or your mom also had a hard time when things like that happened. And those words will probably move them far more, and it will become a saying that they would not forget. Now, we cannot comfort without love. Comforting without love is just a lip service, sugar-coated words. The most noteworthy characteristic of love is equality. Therefore, love cannot stand differences or inequality. When a woman and a man get married, on the surface, one side can seem to lack a lot of things compared to the other. There could be differences in level of education or family background or big differences in jobs or assets or physical appearances. And furthermore, one person could be handicapped or it could be a second marriage for one of them. But no matter what the circumstances are, if the two persons do not come to have the heart to think the other as better than him or herself, and to think equally of the other, then that is not love. Even if they get to marry, if they do not somehow come to regard each other equally, then a happy marriage would be difficult to achieve. Therefore, true comfort begins by treating the other as one's equal. Now, it is possible for us to wholly enjoy the fellowship that the Spirit gives us by being of one mind. And there are many ways to get to Busan, Haeundae Beach from Hapjeongdong. We could get on a plane, take the train or express bus, or we could drive there ourselves. If we were to go to Haeundae Beach for summer vacation, what would be the most pleasant and fastest way to get there? It would be to go with someone we get along with. If we are with someone who thinks like us and who share our feelings, then no matter what transportation we use, it would be a pleasant journey. But if we're with someone who makes us feel uncomfortable, then that trip would feel as long as if we were doing a round-the-world trip. So having a genuine fellowship and experiencing joy from working together are possible only when we live a life which is connected to the Holy Spirit, because it is He who makes me and others as one. Comfort and tenderness can be had through having one heart. I have mentioned the old saying, 단장 연모. Now, how scared the baby monkey must have been in being separated from its mother. And how heartbroken the mother must have been knowing that the baby is scared. And so, the two monkeys are in fact, two monkeys have in fact one heart in this case. When parents lose a child in the amusement park, the child would become fearful in not being able to see his or her parents, and the parent's heart would become sick in thinking about the child who would not even be able to cry because of his or her fear. Now, this is the heart that a Christian is to have towards other Christians. But there is something that we must be careful of. The first part of verse 3 testifies as follows: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, selfish ambition is a lower tendency that results in division. As we looked in chapter 1, the people who opposed Paul, when they heard the news that he was in prison, preached the gospel out of their dissension. They thought that they and Paul were at opposite ends. Now, our brothers and sisters whom we see before us are not objects of competition, but objects of love and respect. The word vanity is kenodoxia in Greek. This word is a composite made up of the word kenos, which means empty, to fraud, and the word doxia, which means glory. And the word doxia came from the word to think. So, the word vanity means to think of something empty as not being empty, and to think something will make me happy without fail. But this is defrauding oneself. A selfish ambition and vanity could be think of like credit cards that buy secular values. The market of vanity continuously calls out to us to buy an item. And it really does sell a lot of goods. It feels as if I make one of them mine, it would make me happy. And it feels as if I get to enjoy them, I would not have any more wish. And to me, items sold in the market of vanity always seems like a gospel. But it cannot be gospel because I get tired of it after I get it and enjoy it for a while. There are many times that I end up thinking, did I work so hard to get this? And feel like I wasted my life. Or the things that I thought would make me happy end up, to the contrary, becoming a source of worry for me. What makes us to become truly ourselves are not the items on sale at the market of vanity, but the items that are sold in the market of truth, the market of eternal life. Before us, there is always the way to the Vanity Fair and the way to the Truth Fair, an Eternal Life Fair. Which road we choose is solely up to each one of us. Actually, we're already standing in the market that we chose to be. What that market is, is told to us by the things that we happen to be buying now. If we're walking in the market of truth and eternal life, we would become full of encouragement and comfort, fellowship, mercy, and tenderness. Let us pray. Father God, the things that are sold in the market of vanity always look attractive, sophisticated, and brilliantly beautiful. But they are like flowers already cut. They will wither away soon. And yet, why do we so obsess over them? We confess before you that in our hearts, we have already gone beyond the desire to purchase the goods that are sold in the market of vanity and harbor the desire to become the master of a big store in that market. Allow us not to become like the emperor without clothes, in decorating ourselves with the things that are sold in the market for vanity when we come to stand before God. Allow us to become people clothed in white, washed with the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, having taken to dress ourselves with items that are sold in the market of truth and eternal life. Rather than wanting to own gold, silver, pearls, or other jewels, allow us to desire to have pearls of encouragement, jewels of comfort. And rather than engaging in fellowship based on position, fame, allow us to be your children who have fellowship with one another by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, we pray that you will allow us to become Christians who value mercy and tenderness more than desire or any pleasure. And so may us all become pilgrims of truth and eternal life, wading forward through the waves of values that flow from the market of desire. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.